Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day. A little chilly every morning, but it's warming up during the day.
Yeah. This is the time of year we've been looking forward to, you know?
We've been looking forward to it. And, you know, so much is happening in Texas. You know, the Balloon Fest was in Houston. They had Balloon Fest over here in Plano. Plano had 100,000 people show up in that four-day period.
Really?
Can you imagine feeding 100,000 people?
That's a
at
lot
a balloon
of people.
Fest.
Wow.
It's a lot of people. But I love to see the balloons flying. I love it when they lift off. You know, years ago, there was a field very close to my house, and the balloons left right there close to my house.
Really?
And you would see them just float up over the house, and it was fantastic. I loved those balloons just floating right up above the house.
Yeah.
It was really neat. And one of the real estate companies had the prettiest balloon of all of them.
Really?
And I don't know what those balloons cost. I know a lot of money, but they are gorgeous just floating in the sky.
They are. Especially, I don't know if you've ever seen them, like, when they go up, like, first thing in the morning. I mean, they get there, like, before the sun comes up, and then they're ready.
That's
and
true.
What's always pretty is, like, when the sun is starting to come up, it's a little bit foggy, it's a little bit cool, and then you see the balloons rise up during the sunrise. That's magic.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you see the people in them.
Yeah.
And it's just neat as it can be.
It is.
Yeah. At this time of year, there's so much going on in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the neatest thing is when they put Big Tex up this week.
Yeah.
A lot of people went out to the fairgrounds to watch Big Tex going up. And that's a monumental deal with a crane, as you know,
yeah,
to get him standing tall and make sure his Levi's are on right, his boots, and his big hat.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people came out to watch that. I wouldn't even have thought about it. How much fun that is to see Big Tex going up.
I bet. You know, we always see him always up in place and ready to go, but we never actually see him get put in place, and that would be really, really cool. I never thought about going
that
to see
really
that either.
That would really be neat. Yeah, to see the crane and see him with his pants on, then his boots on, and going up strong, going up tall, and everybody's getting ready for the fair. Oh, my gosh. And I found out that even if you have old tickets, they will honor them.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either, but there was an article saying, if you have old tickets, we will honor them. And then they've sent out a lot of discount tickets this year to help people with the cost of the fair.
Wow. Cool.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because there's, and you can just smell the fair when you get close to it. You can smell all that food. Oh, my gosh. You can smell all that. It's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, summer is fun and summer vacation is great. But, boy, I tell you what, once we get, you know, into, like, back to school time and summer vacation is over, that's, like, the one thing that's on my mind is, like, the state fair. And it's just like, here we are. It's almost time. It's almost time. The countdown is on. And here we are.
And I've heard people talking about the food already, that they can't wait to get in there and try the new things and some of the old things.
Oh.
And, of course, Fletcher's Corn Dogs. You know, we've known that company and that family for 50 years, and they'll be right there making those fabulous corn dogs. Theirs are the best.
Yeah.
If you can get a Fletcher's Corn Dog. A lot of these other brands, but sometimes you can't even get Fletcher's.
Yeah. Sometimes they're hard to find, but boy, if you can, it's the best of the best.
It's the best of the best. So Texas has got so much going. We've got festivals. We've got everything. Just, I mean, you name it, we've got things going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I would almost venture to say that this is, it might be the greatest time of year in Texas.
I think it is. And the other thing is the Texas Rangers is hired Brad Oldham, the sculptor who is so famous in Dallas, to make 25 limited edition pieces for fans. And they're
really
hiding them all over the Metroplex.
Really?
These, you talk about a collector's deal. This is really going to be great. There's 25 limited edition bronze baseball sculptures.
Really?
And they've hid them all over the Metroplex. So whoever finds those has really got something. And Oldham, you know, he's been a sculptor for 25 years, and they've partnered with him to hide these 25 baseball sculptures titled Baseball Forever.
Wow.
And if you find one of these, you've got it made.
Yeah, no doubt. That's something you want to hang on to if you find one.
I don't know where people would look, but they've hid 25 of these sculptures.
Well, that just is like, just when you think it can't get any better, now there's like a scavenger hunt on top of it.
That's right, a scavenger hunt. And these are limited edition. There's only 25. So whoever finds these are going to be great.
Yeah.
They're going to be fantastic.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to, I'll have to like keep my eyes open now. It's just like, now when I go,
well,
it's like.
You have to think, where would you hide these sculptures?
I don't even know.
I just don't know.
Hmm. But boy, it'd be fun to find one. Could you imagine? It's almost like, you remember how much fun it is on Easter to find the hidden Easter eggs? This would
right,
be like
yes.
10 times better.
That's right, but it's going to be just as much fun. I would look at the Dallas Arboretum.
Mm.
I think they would hide one there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, wow.
I would try there. Maybe at the zoo. Would they hide one at the zoo?
I don't know. I suppose anything's
possible.
I just
don't know if that'd be a good place. But a lot of people go there.
Yeah. Hmm.
I'd hide down with the Mavericks.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, that would be a good place.
Hmm. Well, that's going to
be... I don't know at the fair, because I don't know. It'd be so hard to find it there.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. But, boy...
But you've got the automobile building. You've got all those different buildings. But
yeah.
That might be too hard at the fair.
Yeah, it might be. And I wonder if they're going to, like, put them in, like, strategic places, you know, to get people talking about, like, the actual places as well, or just, like, put them, like, under, like, random, you know, who knows where. It could be, like, anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't tell when I read about it.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
So it's given an opportunity to hunt them down. I just don't know.
I'd like to get my hands on one.
Oh, yeah, I would, too. I'd like to have one of those limited editions, I can tell you that.
Ooh, imagine if you found two.
Oh, my gosh. Anybody that did that is really brilliant.
Yeah, that would be something special. Wow. Well, how exciting. That's fun.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they created these just for the fans. And it's a limited edition. When there's only 25, it's pretty dadgum limited.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not like they made 8,000 of them.
Yeah, I mean, if they'd made 8,000, it wouldn't even be fun.
No.
But I don't know where else you'd look. They said they'll be hid in the Metroplex.
Mm.
That means Dallas and Fort Worth, probably.
Well, that's a lot of ground to cover, but boy, that'd be
cool. It's a lot of ground, so you'd have to really give it some thought. Where would you hide something that they'll find?
Yeah.
They might not even find them all.
Hopefully they have them written down or somehow plotted on a map so that at some point they can go retrieve any that may have been missed.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should have given some clues every week.
Yeah, that would be kind of helpful.
Yeah, say, you know, it might be here, might be there, you know, high or low. I mean, I don't know where you'd look.
Yeah. Boy, ooh, if there were some clues, that would really make it exciting.
Okay, now it might be at one of the car dealers that sponsors the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
That's another place to look.
Mm, that's a good idea. Huh.
And I don't know who the sponsor is for cars, but if they'll look that up, it might be at one of the car dealers.
Interesting. Boy, this is fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard of something like this happen before. This is like a first, right?
It is the first time they've ever done this. And just having an Oldham sculpture, right, is important because he's very famous.
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing sculptures for 25 years.
Wow. And he only made 25 of these.
He only did 25 for the Rangers.
How cool.
And said, you know, it's going to give us a chance to hunt them down.
Yeah.
Is it
already started? I mean, are they out now, or is it like...
They are out.
Oh, wow. I wonder if they're going to announce when somebody finds one.
Well, I imagine.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it says if you're an art fan or if you're a baseball fan.
Yeah, which between the two is just about everybody, I would think.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
It will be everybody. And so we know they're hid. And it says throughout Dallas-Fort Worth.
Well, if you see me over the area looking under everything and in every nook and corner, you'll know why.
And they're encouraging everybody to join the treasure chest hunt.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Anybody that's a fan needs to be thinking about it, about, you know, where would you hide a sculpture, a baseball sculpture? Where would be a good place that a fan would think about going? You have to think about where would you think about going for one of these.
Yeah. Where would be a natural place where you would look for something like that?
That's right.
Interesting.
And it might be, do they have a place that people with the Rangers go to?
Oh, I don't know. That's...
I mean, where would a baseball fan go?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of logic or some rhyme or reason behind it. They didn't just stick it under like a random tree somewhere.
No, it's not going to be under a tree. It has to be a place where different fans go, I think.
Wow.
It's going to have to be a place where you would go.
How fun. Neat.
Yeah.
Is there a picture of these? Those that would, like, we know what we're looking for?
Yeah, you can get a picture.
Cool. That'll be awesome.
The Dallas Morning News had a picture of it.
Cool. Well, this is fun. This is now all of a sudden it's like it kicked. Just when you thought that fall couldn't get any better, it has.
It gets better every time.
Wow.
But everybody needs to think about where you would go. Where would a fan go?
Yeah.
You got to give that some thought.
Yeah. You don't want to just get in the truck and just drive around.
No.
You'll never find anything.
Since I said Dallas-Fort Worth, there's probably some in each location.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they're probably spread out all over the place.
Yeah, I think so. But it'd be places, I think, that fans go.
Yeah. Of course, you know now, somebody will find one, and they'll end up, like, selling it or something, or putting it on eBay or something like that.
Yeah, I hope they don't.
Yeah.
Because they should keep these. These will be probably worth some money sometime. Might not even be now. I don't know what they're worth.
I don't know, but it's definitely a collector's item, especially with over
20. They are a collector's item right now because Todd Oldham did it.
Yeah.
And he's famous.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're worth money, but it's not about the cash. It's about the...
No, it's about getting this statue and what it means. You know, this it's he's celebrating 25 years, and he partnered with them, and...
Wow.
Title Baseball Forever.
What a cool little thing to do. That's awesome.
I think it's really a cool idea.
Yeah, it is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know we love to talk about money and all, but boy, it's just, and I know they'll be worth something, but boy, that's just one of those things that you just hold on to. It's not about the cash. That'd be awesome.
No, it's the prestige of saying, I found one of the sculptures.
Yeah.
That I'm that smart and intelligent.
Yeah. And you can rub it in all your friends' faces.
That's right. And maybe sneaky. Might be sneaky is the way you found it. But it'd be amazing to find one of those.
It really would.
Because they'll all be announced to the public as to who found them. You know that.
Yeah. Wow.
And the winners will probably be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a neat thing. Well, let me tell you one thing before we get started.
Okay.
I got a call this week from a neighbor. She owns about 6 acres across the road. And she said, our ponds are really low. She said, all the neighbors' ponds are getting so low. But she said, we know yours isn't because you have the well. We said, yes. She said, would you let me bring my turtle over and put it in your pond?
You kidding me? Wow.
I'm still laughing about it. We go, well, yes, okay. Bring it over. I have never had anybody ask me to put a turtle in my pond for them.
Wow.
I don't know if she'll come get it back out or what.
Oh, my gosh. So she brought it. She brought it over? She did?
She brought the and dropped it in.
And it's been sitting there? Wow.
Yeah, the turtle seems to be fine. I mean, you know, I don't know if she plans to come back and get it. Or if she's just going to leave it in the pond. I don't know.
How long has it been there? A couple days?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds to me you may have just adopted a turtle.
Well, we may have. You know, there's several turtles in the pond now. And then, of course, the llamas go down and they get in the pond.
Yeah.
So that maybe they'll just share it.
Maybe they'll all play with the turtle.
There you go. Wow.
Well, I tell you what, you have stories that nobody else can tell.
Well, it's an interesting life, let me tell you that.
Wow. How are we this week? What big stuff?
Well, we're working on a lot of policies. You know, everything we've looked at the last 2 weeks has been short. 12 months, 8 months, 19 months. I am shocked because we've been getting really long ones that we couldn't do. We bought several policies this week. We're working on two large cases. One of them is pancreatic cancer that we love to do because they always come in, you know, early. I think this one's about 12 months. It's a big policy. We can put a lot of people in it if we get it. We're bidding it hard. We're bidding another policy that's $3 million. So altogether, we've got about $8 million in policies that we're bidding.
Wow.
So things are looking good for a change. We had one guy that turned the bid down and kept his policy, and we made a note of that, where that when he comes back several months later, we're not going to buy his policy.
Hmm.
You know, if you turn us down now, you're going to have to just keep it and weep.
You know, these people play these games sometimes. It's just, it's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't understand. We've given everything we can give and still make the client any money.
Yeah.
Instead, they want more and more, and they're not going to get more and more, so they're going to end up having to keep it and do the best they can.
You know, you almost wonder if when they play those games, if there's, you know, I know sometimes it comes down to the broker, but sometimes when they play those games, are they actually serious about selling it, or are they just kind of seeing how much maybe they can get and... if it's
enough.
They
say they're serious. They say they need the money. But, you know, if you need the money, why don't you take it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It's strange that people, and I don't know, sometimes, you know, when there's a broker, you know, we've talked about this before, that, you know, the broker wants to make more money for themselves, and so they'll, you know, play these games and blah, blah, blah. But, boy, it's a shame because the client always loses in those situations.
That's right. The client does not get. And, you know, in Arkansas and Oregon, they have a crazy law where that you have to offer them 80% of the face amount.
Really?
And so at 80%, our client couldn't make any money.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've really hurt the people in Arkansas and Oregon because they're not going to be able to sell their policies because nobody can give them that much. And our people make any money. And they think they're helping people, saying, oh, well, you've got to give them 80%. It's, you know, when people tell you how much you have to give for something, it doesn't work.
No. I mean, that's just, it just cuts the legs out from the whole deal. It just, I mean,
it does.
Can't
it makes
make
it
money.
Impossible to do. And so we say, no, we're not taking anything from Arkansas. We're not going to take anything from Oregon.
Wow.
Because if it's not competitive, we can't do it.
Yeah.
You know? But the powers that be that run the insurance, they think they've really helped them. Said, look how much money we're going to get them. Well, what they're going to do is not get them anything.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know that anybody would pay like 80%. I mean, that's just, there's
yeah,
no.
Yeah, and then where does our client get a dime?
Exactly.
There's not anything left.
Yeah.
You've paid 80%. So the client doesn't get anything, so we're not going to do that.
Wow. Well,
and,
maybe it'll work
out
for
them. I don't
think
anybody else will. When we found that out, and I didn't even know it till this week.
Is that
the crazy laws there.
Is it new, or is it something that's always been in place?
No, I think it's maybe the last couple of years they put it in place. I don't know if it's been there longer or not, but I didn't know about it.
What a shame. You know, it's like, but, like you say, nobody's going to be able to sell them at that point.
But
jeez,
our clients have got a good chance to make some good money on these that we're doing right now. They're short term. It'll be a fast turnaround. They've got some good profit in it. The premiums are very, very low. And we did one the other day that was 19 months. It had kind of a high premium, but we escrowed, and everybody didn't realize, we're going to put it into permanent life before we buy it, and that will reduce the premium.
Really?
The premium is going to be fine when we get through. I think everybody didn't understand that we were going to turn it into a permanent life and reduce the premium.
Cool. Well, that's great then.
Yeah, so it'll be fine. It might not look fine on the outside, but it will when we get through with it.
Wow. Cool. And with these ones that you're bidding on, these are probably, I would imagine, if you get them, they're going to go pretty quickly, right?
I hope they will. I think they will because they're so short. You know, 12 months, 8 months is unheard of. I mean, you know, it's your money's turned pretty quick.
Yeah.
If you can make 12 to 15% in a year, that's pretty good.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, those are going to be some hot ones. So when will you know? Like maybe next week or the week after?
I think in a week, I think we'll know if we got these policies. I think we're going to need another week.
All right.
But I think then we will put it out to the clients. We'll tell them everything about the pancreatic cancer and about the other one. They're both good. Oh, the other one is rectal cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's a serious. That's what Farrah Fawcett died of.
Yeah, you don't.
If you remember?
You don't have many of those that come through.
No,
do you?
I think we've only done one rectal cancer, because usually they die before you get a chance to do anything.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of one of them being cured, and it's past serious. It is very serious. So those two look really good. If we get them, we'll put them out immediately. We'll fill them quickly, and everybody will have money coming.
Yeah.
So, and we've had a couple of small maturities, but not anything big this last week.
Hmm. All right. So people should probably start looking in their email and watching out for something in about a week or so.
Yes. In about a week, we should be telling them what they can have, how much they can put in, everything about the policy, about the sickness. You know, we will reveal everything we've got, what the premiums are. I think these are going to be really two hot policies.
Yeah.
Because they're so short. And everybody will want in them. They'll want in them because there's hardly any premium. And they need to make a profit. Everybody's ready. A lot of people are calling saying, do you have something for me? Let me go get in a policy. So we want to get everybody in that we can. Because remember, we've had 6 million in policies mature in the last 2 months.
Yeah, so people have cash ready to go.
They've got a lot of cash right now. This particular group has probably got 7 to 8 million.
Oh, wow.
We've got 24 million altogether. But this particular tranche of money is about 7.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So they're going to be ready to invest and go again and make some money.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, then that's some definite good news. I know you've been looking for some Segobins for a while, and so these
are
fantastic.
We have, and we'd been getting really bad policies up till 2 weeks ago. We were getting long ones. They were sending 74, 84-month policies.
Oh,
over.
My God.
I mean, you know, these people weren't sick. They just wanted to sell their policy, sounds to me like.
Wow.
You know, I don't know who would buy them.
They thought they'd slip
that in. The premiums were outrageous. The premiums were like 12%.
Oh, my.
I don't know how the guys even can afford his policies.
Wow.
I mean, you know, you were talking about like $74,000, a month. $74,000 a month.
Jeez.
I mean, I don't know anybody can afford that.
My gosh. Oh, I don't even know how anybody even has
and wanted to
like
sell.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to have known that we would figure that out real quick.
Yeah.
We'd be looking at those policies and say, well, let's see how much the premium is, you know. Let's see what's wrong with him. There's not anything that would make us do that.
That'd be like a flashing neon sign that says, don't buy this one, don't buy this one, don't buy this one.
That's right. It said, get that away from us. We can't afford that.
Wow.
We do not need that aggravation.
Jeez. Well, at least, when you get those that come across, they're pretty easy to spot. You don't waste, hours and hours, going through something and then finding something in small print.
It doesn't take long. Well, the first things we look at, first, what kind of cancer, what is their age, what is the premium? There's a long list, and we just come down the list. How old are they? What is the impairment? What are the premiums? What's the prognosis? All that is real important. And if you don't get past the premium, we've already thrown it away.
Yeah.
So you've got to get past what's wrong with them, what the premium is, and how long are they going to live.
Yeah. And then if all that checks out, then you can go a little bit deeper and, start
That's
doing
right.
a deep dive.
Then we're interested. Then we're going to take it apart, read about them, what doctors they've been to. And I was shocked the other day. I was reading one, and they were in Houston at MD Anderson. Usually they're in, Florida or New York or Georgia. And this one was from Texas. Had been doing the MD Anderson and in and out for treatment. But these two cancers are incurable, and we know that up front. So we're really interested in trying to pull this off on these two.
Yeah, no doubt. I suppose those are the kinds of policies that when you're buying them direct, those are the ones that and that's another thing. We don't mention that very often, is that you buy policies direct. And so avoid
the middleman. That's right. And if you have cancer, you need to sell your policy, you can come to us and we'll buy it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go online. You don't have to go to some foreign place. You can do it right here in Texas.
Yeah. And it kind of takes the broker out of the equation, which means that everybody wins. Everybody makes more. And I would imagine.
We're a licensed provider in Texas. We can buy the policy direct. We don't have to go through a broker. Now, we have to go through a broker if it's in Florida or anywhere outside of Texas, because we're not a licensed provider. And you have to be in each state, or you have to go through someone else. So in Texas, we can buy them direct. We can give you your money in a short time if everything checks out. We check out your cancer, how bad it is, what the premiums are, the whole deal. And we can act very fast.
And all they have to do is just call you, right?
All they have to do is call in and say, I have cancer. This is the type of cancer it is. Here's the reports from my doctor. Because we have to read the reports and see how bad it is. If he says you're going to live 5 years, we can't do it.
Yeah.
But if he said it's incurable and you've got 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that, it's worth doing and we'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, and that's good to know. What about switching over to annuities? How are we on? I assume bonuses are still.
Okay. The bonuses are only going to be about another 2 weeks.
Ooh,
at 13%.
Really?
I've been talking to them. In fact, they've been calling me and saying, you need to get your annuities done because the rates are coming down.
Oh.
So we're not going to have the 13%, but at probably another 2 weeks, it's coming down. I don't know what it'll be, but it won't be 13.
Well, then that's good to know.
So everybody that wants to do the 13% bonus and get that 13% the next 3 years on everything they put in needs to call me, make an appointment this week, and we have to have it dated, in the next 2 weeks in order to get that 13% bonus, because the rates, as I said, are coming down. So the bonuses are coming down. So now's the time to do it, because we've got, like 14, 15 items we can put you in. We can change them every year. If we like it, leave it alone. Now the annuities are doing so good. After all these years, annuities are still the number one thing for conservatives.
Yeah, I was wondering when those bonuses were going to end, because it had been going on for a long time.
They brought it in for the summer. They extended a little bit. Then I got the call this week, and they said, you know, the interest rates are coming down, and so the bonuses are coming down. We have done a lot of annuities this summer. A lot of people are taking money out of their accounts. They're either opening an IRA with an annuity or a joint account with their wife, or if they're single. I had one single lady. She opened one for herself, and she's got a lot of oil and gas money. And she said that she's going to add to hers. No, I said she's single. That's not true. She's married.
Hmm.
I forgot. Anyway, her husband is not on the annuity with her. This is her annuity, her money, her gas money. And she's going to be putting more money in it as her income increases. So we've had a lot of annuity business. We're looking to doing a lot more before this bonus is over, where the, you know, people will get that extra money. Because they're not going to get that at the bank. The bank's not going to offer you a bonus.
Oh, Lord.
No. They're not going to offer you that 13%. Mm-hmm. And remember, you get it every year for 3 years if you put additional money in. And it's credited right now. It'll be credited when they issue the annuity. And remember, it's compound interest. It's tax deferred. Do you take it out? So there's not anything negative about the annuity. The company we're doing this with is worth $60 billion.
Wow.
They've been in business 106 years.
Jeez, that's
and they're owned by Texans.
And that's important. That is.
That's important. They're owned by Texans.
How long does it take, generally speaking, to get in an annuity, get set up for, like, say, a brand new investor?
You know, this last three I did, we did them in about a week.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was shorter than I thought. But because they wrote checks instead of transferring money from an IRA or from, you know, a brokerage account, they were faster. So everybody just wrote a check, we sent it in, and it was faster.
Wow.
And the checks are always made to the life insurance company. If you're doing business with anybody and they said, oh, just make the check to me, that's a red flag, and it's a bad, bad deal.
Yeah.
You know, I read every once in a while, these people, instead of making it out to the brokerage house even, they'll make it out to the individual.
Oh, my.
They'll have a reason for you to do it. There is no reason for it.
Mm.
That check's got to be made to the life company.
Yeah, so if anybody says make the check out to me personally, know that that's a fishy tactic, and you probably want to steer clear.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's
also
dangerous.
When your statement comes, it needs to be from the company, always from the life company. If it's a life insurance annuity.
Hmm. Annuities have been pretty hot for a while, and you say these...
Yes, they have, because they're paying so much better than they used to. Used to, it was a fixed rate, and that's all you got. Then they came up with indexes. It's never directly in the stock market, but it mirrors the stock market. But it's got a stop gap. If the market goes down, your annuity does not go down. It just sits there.
Yeah.
And then it goes back up as the market goes up. But you don't take any losses because it has a stopgap measure.
And
so it's the best of all worlds with annuities.
Yeah.
If the market goes up, yours goes up. If the market goes down, it just sits there.
Yeah, it doesn't go down.
So you don't take any losses. And that's what I love. It's not in the stock market, so you never take a loss. You might have a year when it doesn't do well. But it averages about 10% overall. I got a printout. It shows that it was an average of 10%.
Hmm.
Some years it made more. Some years it made less. But it made good money. People still have their annuities that bought them from me years ago. They're still getting cash out of them.
And with those bonuses in place for the next couple of weeks, even if it doesn't go if it doesn't go up, you still get your 13%, right?
That's right. It's locked in, and once a year your interest is locked in. That's what's so great. Whatever you make, it locks it in once a year.
So, and I think you always say it as though the annuity, with an annuity, you are protecting your principal, so you don't have to worry.
You're
about
protecting that principal from everything.
Yeah.
It's the most conservative thing you can do. That principal will always be there. The interest may go up, it may go down, but your principal is safe.
Yeah. So really, either way, whether it's an annuity or a life settlement, the rough waters, to put it nicely, that some people are predicting over the next couple of months, if things go a little bit sideways, like in the stock market or in any other aspect, then you're essentially, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night and wonder if you have anything left. You don't have to check your portfolio every 5 minutes. You know that you're fine. You know that you're secure. You've been through these types of things before over the last several years. There've been all kinds of, you know, turmoil in the market and, you know, things breaking out overseas and all kinds of crazy things happening. And every time all of your investors, either one, annuities or life settlements, have thrived and done well. Right.
That's right. And when everybody else was hurting in 2008, we were steady as you go. Our people didn't lose any money. They stayed steady. We came out of it okay. We didn't have anybody lose their money, and everybody else lost bad.
Yeah.
And this time, we don't know what's going to happen. This is a crazy world we're living in. The election is close. There's a lot of stuff going on. Politics is a dirty business. And so if you're safe in annuities or life settlements, we will weather this storm, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, even if something happens, if say we have another 2008, you know, over the next couple of weeks or months, you know, people's, when the policy matures, it's coming from a life insurance company and they have tons of resources on hand, and they don't discount a policy when it matures for any reason.
No, that's right. You always get the face amount. It's not like in the market, you may say, I want to cash out. And they say, well, it's what it's worth today. And that's what you're going to get, whatever it's worth that day. Not what you put in, maybe, or what you thought you made, but whatever it's worth that day. So that's why if you've got annuities, it's always a face amount is there. The interest is locked in once a year. It's just not like being in the stock market where the risk is 100,000%.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you can stand the risk, if you can stand the loss, and your wife will not divorce you, it's okay, you know.
That should be your number one question. If I
That's
do
exactly
this,
right.
What's going to happen?
What will my wife do? I talked to somebody the other day, and I won't mention any names, but they sold their business. And things didn't go well, let me tell you.
Uh-oh.
And that's when the wife does get a little bit anxious.
Yeah. So be proactive is, I guess, maybe the lesson here.
You suddenly want to go out here and get in the real estate business. Duh. This is the wrong time. Do not do it.
Oh, wow.
We know so many horror stories in real estate right now.
Mm.
You know, it's just not a good time to be in the real estate business.
I really,
it wouldn't be a good time to go in and say, oh, I think I'll buy Schwann's.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Koreans bought Schwann's over a year ago. They've ran it into the ground. It's closing in November.
Oh, wow.
1,100 people are going to lose their jobs.
Oh, literally.
Literally lose their jobs.
Oh,
Schwann,
wow.
It was an old company. They delivered frozen food. Fabulous. A lot of desserts, a lot of ice cream. It's over, folks.
Jeez.
It's another American success story down the tubes.
I thought that, you know, I mean, it's like, I know over the last couple of years, you talked about all these, you know, companies that have been around for a long time have had to close their doors. But I didn't see that one coming for some reason. I thought, wow, you know, the home delivery
it's just been so many of them, you know, Pier 1, Bed Bath and Beyond, and now all your fast food chains that have went under. It's amazing. And, you know, I don't know what to think. And they say that a lot of them, these hedge funds bought them, and then they didn't know what to do with these companies after they bought it, and they ran them in the ground. Because, see, it's not their money. Mm. When it's not your money, you're not as careful, looks like.
Yeah.
But if it was your money, in that hedge fund, instead of just running it, you would be very, very careful.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
And you would cut all the expenses down. You'd trim the fat away. get all the big salaries, big bonuses, big vacation homes. I'd get rid of all that and get it where it's tight as a drum, and it might make it.
No more private jets.
Yeah. That one guy, after they hired him, he bought a $16 million jet for himself and just kept going from there.
Oh, wow.
Just, they think it's their money.
Yeah.
And wow. I don't remember if I told you about that story about the lady in Arizona, poor place, and she stole $46 million over 20 years.
Really?
I mean, these people didn't have any money. They finally audit after 20 years.
Oh, my.
And they could see every year how much money she stole. They'll never get all that back. $46 million?
Over
how do you get $46 million back?
Wow. If she did it steady, that I'm thinking that's, if my math is right, like 2 million, a little over 2 million a year.
That's it.
How do you not notice that?
She bought herself a ranch. She bought businesses. You know, they'll take all that, but I don't think it'll end up to be 46.
No.
And these poor people were so poor, they were paying their taxes, and she was just, as soon as the money came in, she'd transfer. And, you know, they always told me, the person that takes the money in does not write the checks.
Mm.
In other words, you're supposed to have two signatures on every check if you're a big company.
Mm.
And you're supposed to have them bonded. And you're supposed to audit.
Wow.
What happened to all these big companies that I read about? They didn't audit for 3 years. I mean, that time they'd stolen a lot of money.
Yeah, you can get away with a lot in 3 years. So.
Yeah.
And this lady did over 20, you said?
20 years and stole $46
million. Golly. Yeah, she's.
And this one lady said she went to a party at her house and thought, how can she afford this ranch?
Hmm.
And she thought, well, she probably just inherited some money.
Wow.
She inherited their money is what happened.
Yeah, yeah, there's no rich uncle here.
Yeah, I don't know how they'll ever make it up.
No.
Because they didn't have her bonded.
Hmm. Wow, what a shame.
In a little town, you know, they don't know about bonds and things like that.
Yeah. Nah, that's too bad. I know you tell these stories every once in a while, and they're you know, it's a shame to hear them, but it's also a good reminder of, you know, hey, kind of, you know, keep your eyes and ears open, and if something smells funny, it probably is funny. So, you know,
that's right. And a company should check it out. There has to be a comptroller. There has to be an accountant somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, or to rescue them.
Yeah, you would think. Well, I mean, it also shows the good thing with, you know, annuities and life settlements is they're both highly regulated. And so there's, you know,
they are so regulated, you won't believe.
Yeah.
They're audited twice a year, by the way.
Oh, see, now that's a big
They're
deal.
Audited by the state and nationally.
Mm.
There's two audits a year. And, you know, insurance companies are more highly regulated than anything I know. I mean, there's only certain things they can invest in. There's only certain products they can make. So, you know, and the commissioners of every state is watching every life insurance company every day. I mean, they check you and double check you. This company's worth $60 billion.
Jeez. Wow, that's pretty solid.
And they are A-plus rated like we are. You know, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau.
That's a big deal. That's a really big
deal.
It is
a big deal. I don't think about it, but every once in a while, the Better Business Bureau will send me something and say, well, would you like to advertise with us? Would you like to do this? And I forget, you know, that we're a member of the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
Have been for 23 years, I think.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah,
that's
a long time.
That's great. That's something to be proud of. Congratulations on that, too.
Yeah, long time.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of good stuff. Go in there and read something about us, how we do business, how annuities work, how life settlement works. a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I mean, I know we just kind of like scratched the surface really on the show. And so people, sometimes when people read something or they digest it, you know, there's, you know, more information and things like that, different, you know, types of IRAs and SIPLs and all that stuff. So it's all right there. Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
John Hillerman. Do you remember John Hillerman?
Yes, from Magnum.
From Magnum P.I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Higgins.
Do you remember what they called him?
Jonathan Higgins on Magnum.
Yeah, Jonathan Quail Higgins III.
The third.
The third. For that role alone, he earned 5 Golden Globes, 4 Emmy nominations. For that, John Hillerman was born in Denison, Texas.
Was he really?
He really was. His father was from Germany and Holland. His parents were immigrants. His mother was from Austrian Germany. He served 4 years in the Air Force. He was over here at Carswell. He was doing maintenance on a B-36, and he achieved the rank of staff sergeant. And he was not doing anything over there, and he joined a theatrical group in Fort Worth. He said he was bored with barracks life, and he got into acting to meet people in town. And in 1957, he was discharged, and he moved to New York City. But I didn't mention, he also went to the University of Texas.
Really?
We've cool. had so many actors that went to the university. By the way, the University of Texas is now only going to accept the top 5% of the high school kids. If you're not in the top 5%, you can no longer apply to the University of Texas.
Wow. So it's like literally the best of the best. This is the elite students.
This is going to become elite. It just came out that they would no longer accept anyone if they weren't in the top 5%.
Wow. Then that's yes. incentive, something to strive for.
So when he went to New York, he was there 12 years. He was starving. He said, you know, he couldn't make it. So he went to Hollywood. His film debut was in They Call Me Mr. Tibbs.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't remember that.
Me either.
Then he was in The Last Picture Show, What's Up, Doc, and Paper Moon way back then. And I did not remember that. He was in Chinatown, and then the old movie Blazing Saddles.
Really? I didn't realize that.
And then in 1975, he co-starred, and I didn't remember this, in Ellery Queen. I loved Ellery Queen. He starred with Jim Hutton.
Well, I didn't realize that either. Wow.
And then he went on to star in One Day at a Time.
Really?
And then he played the estranged husband on the Betty White Show.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I did not remember that.
Wow.
But then, of course, it came to Magnum, and he went to New York to a vocal coach, and that's how he learned to speak English.
Really?
Modern upper-class English accent.
Man,
it was called the Queen's English.
So I know, knowing that he's born in Texas, I feel like this is a dumb thing to say, but I always thought his accent was like legit. Like
everybody real. Thought it was real that he was English. He was not English. He was a Texan.
Wow.
And then he gave an interview in 1988. He said he's the only sane character in the show. Everyone else is stark raving mad. And that sounds like him, doesn't it?
It does.
Everyone else is stark raving mad, he said. And then he, in 1982, he starred in Tales of the Gold Monkey as a German villain, Fritz, but I don't remember that one.
Well, I don't either. Wow.
He played in the sixth and final season of The Hogan Family, and then he did the Sherlock Holmes movie, Hands of a Murderer.
Jeez.
Yeah, he played in so many. I'll bet he was in 50 movies.
Good Lord. It's sad, but I literally only remember him in one thing. You said he was in a soap opera too, wasn't he?
Yeah. And it's just amazing. I know he played in more than 50 movies, most of them on television. He was on Hawaii 5-0 even.
Really?
He was on Heart to Heart, The Love Boat, and then, The Bob Crane Show.
Wow.
Kojak, and he was on Mannix.
I think what it is, I think it's the accent that's throwing me off. I've probably seen him and not known it because he was not doing the accent, and the accent was so memorable and so spot on. And so, I mean, that was like a mate. It wasn't just a character who had an accent. It was like the accent was really the main, I mean, that was like forefront. And I think probably seeing him talk without the accent would probably throw me off. So I've probably seen him and not known.
That's
it.
Right. And he was so English, and he was so darn good in Magnum P.I. It was one of my favorite deals. And I always thought he was English. Had no idea. He was in 158 episodes.
Golly. Wow. I didn't realize he was in so much other stuff.
Best supporting actor, all those Golden Globes, Primetime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama. I mean, he was in so many things. I didn't even remember all the things he was in.
I know it. Wow.
And especially Ellery Queen, because that was one of my favorite little detective stories.
Yeah. Wow.
And then when he retired, he moved back to Texas, lived in Houston until he died.
Huh. Wow. Boy, I'm just...
It's typical of a Texan to come back to Texas after you retire.
We always come home.
That's right. Always come back to Texas.
Hmm. Wow. I didn't know any of that.
And I thought it was funny, that everybody thought he had that accent for real. And he acquired it because he knew that he was not going to get all these jobs, speaking Texan.
Well, I mean, that's true. I'm sitting here thinking it's always amazing to me when you have these stories about people that we know, and we know them for like one or two roles, and they've done all these other things. And it's just like, well, either forgot about that or have probably seen these actors in these other roles and not even known it was them. And
he played Betty White's ex-husband.
Yeah.
On the Betty White Show. And that was 1977 to 78.
Yeah.
I don't even remember it.
I remember watching the show, but I'm trying to place him right now, it's not coming to me.
He played on Ellery Queen from 1976 to 1980.
Jeez. It's like, I know I've seen all this, but I don't know. It's strange to me. It's like trying to, put somebody, it's almost like trying to put a different actor in these roles, and I just can't picture him for some reason.
Yeah, and his most memorable role, he said that Magnum P.I. was the best he did.
Yeah.
He said he loved that role.
I can see why.
Yeah,
sure.
And they were so good together.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that show was magic. It was one of those.
It was, and I loved it. And I loved his uniform he would wear around. I guess it was a uniform.
Yeah.
That khaki outfit he wore all the time.
Yes, yes.
And then he put those shorts on with it,
Yes, yes.
And I read once about how those dogs were trained. And, he had them mastered, those two big Dobermans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember there was one on each side, and he had them. They were, at his beck and call for anything.
Yeah, they do just what he said.
Wow.
And whoever trained him that way.
Wow. Such a legendary actor, and I didn't even realize it. So underappreciated.
Yeah. And he didn't get all the acclaim he probably should have because he was so good on television on Magnum P.I. But he did a lot of movies. I mean, it's just amazing. And it all started over here at Carswell Air Force Base because he was bored.
He was bored with barracks life.
He was bored with barracks life and saw the plays and said, well, I could do that. I want to do that. And he got involved.
Wow.
But then he almost starved to death in New York City.
Yeah. Well, then that.
Yeah, he said that, you know, he wasn't hardly eating at all. And he moved to Hollywood, and that's all it took.
Yeah. You know, it's so weird how, you know, I guess when an actor like this goes to New York and they think they're going to make it, and then they don't, and they're starving, it's almost like you think, okay, well, I'm being pushed out of the business, and in reality, he's being pushed into his element. And it sounds like after
that's
he got
right.
there, he thrived.
Going to California, he became a success. He was on every show in the world, and then he got the big break on Magnum P.I.
I'm going to have to go back.
I didn't realize it was on that many years.
I didn't either. I knew I watched it like almost every episode, but I've seen all these other things too. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch some of these other things and look for them. That's awesome.
That's wow. right. I'd go back and watch it and notice his accent was so great. It was so good.
Yeah. I'm sure it's different now if you look at it and say, that's not a real accent. And I was like, no, it is. It's like, no, it's not. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, he was so good at it. Everybody that I know thought he was English.
Yeah, I know I did. I bought it, hook, line,
and sinker. I sure wouldn't have thought it was a Texas accent.
Yeah, me neither. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Well, I love when you tell stories like that. It just kind of like brings everything that people have done and we didn't even realize it into perspective. Cool. Okay, before we wrap, risks involved with a life settlement. There are two. What's the first
one? The biggest risk is the premium. If it goes over, you have to pay premium. So up front, you should always find out what the premium is and know it. But we always give that information out. The second thing is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. So when it matures, it's liquid when it goes in your bank account.
Okay. And there is accreditation involved with the life settlement.
You
which
must
means?
Be accredited to do a life settlement. You must make either $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your home. Okay. So either way will work.
And with annuities, there's not the
it's
same
not
accreditation.
As hard. You can't just put all your grocery money, everything in your annuity. You've got to have money to live on. You've got to show money in the bank. And the rest of the money can go in your annuity. But we add it up. We subtract it. We always make sure you have enough money.
Okay. And those bonuses, just to recap, those go on for 2 more weeks, you said?
It looks like the 13% will be another 2 weeks, and then it will be lowered after that. So if you want to get the bonus, the 13%, now is the time to do it. They have that other bonus that will give you an extra 5% on top of the 13, but it comes at a cost. It's 1% a year on whatever you have invested. It does have some goodies in it, and I hardly ever recommend it because I hate fees, but there is a fee on it. But you get an extra 4% at the end of your policy. At the end of 5 years, you can take all your money out if you paid for that extra rider.
Cool. And so they're both conservative. Either way is a great
both
option.
Both conservative.
But people do need to call you, and this is business as usual this coming week, so I assume you've got availability?
We have availability. We'll be doing annuities. We'll be doing life settlements, and we'll be putting people in policies. We're going to have these two great ones, I believe, and we will be putting people in that immediately as soon as they say yes.
Cool. All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.